1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Tonight is flashback night, the last of our flashback nights where we play exclusively bits of shows that were very, very popular or have been requested over the years, or in the case of all of these bits, actually email requested, and we have the emails in front of us. And this is the final, and I think around 3, 4, 5 flashback shows that we've done. And our next bit is a bit containing a character named Father James McQuarters. Now, I told you about how I developed Jay Sanos and how I got into developing some of these other guys. I forget who was the guy we played last. Dave Oliva and Clara Bingham. We also played a bit from Clara. She is someone who has a very specific life. Father James McQuarters started out, though, as just a stock, you know, central casting Irish accent, like Barry Fitzgerald, those old Irish actors.
You know, they talk like this, and they sound like they're a leprechaun, you know, whatever.
And so I started with that. But I think the thing that really sold Father McQuarters was the fact that I gave him an Anthony Hopkins twist. If you notice Anthony Hopkins, when he plays like a sea captain or a very serious guy, he always down in flex, like that. He goes, down. Yeah, I remember this movie, The Bounty, with Anthony Hopkins. He says, "You clean up the ship, sir, and yourselves." And I thought, wow, that is cool. And so I threw that into the Father McQuarters accent. And so I don't know if this bit has it. There's been a lot of bits where he'll say something like, you know,
"It's a little bit of slabber."
You know, it goes way down. So here is Father McQuarters, and the request actually comes from a guy named Ed. He says, "Phil, I'd like to request the bit where Father James McQuarters doesn't want to give communion to a retarded person because of the, quote, slabber, end quote. I think that was the bit where I almost crashed my cement mixer while driving down the freeway. Thank you very much, Reginald Denny." It was a guy named Ed. All right, Ed, here it is, Father James McQuarters and slabber.
Father, I was born and raised a Catholic, and yes. I'm appalled at your attitude. These are not imbeciles.
No,
they're not retards.
Not.
And somebody needs, Father, out of disrespect, because you are asking for disrespect from every Catholic,
yes.
every non-Catholic,
yes.
you need to be gagged. And you need to be gagged by these people that you are calling retards and imbeciles.
Well, I agree with the caller. Retard is over the line.
All right, forgive me.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Father, and it's, I wouldn't want to take the body and blood of Christ from you with your attitude.
I'm a priest of God. You
Jesus
can't
Christ
just, you can't
healed
priests.
Father, Jesus Christ healed the afflicted. He didn't downcast them the way you are.
Yes, you're right.
You are the imbecile, Father, and I hate to say that to you. You are one of the reasons why there is so much discord in the Catholic Church right now.
I don't think so. I'm not molesting them. I'm just gagging them.
Pardon me, Father.
Oh, man.
I have a right to say what I want to
yeah,
say
let
to
the
you.
Caller speak.
All right, but can
these
I just say,
so-called,
I'm finding wet pieces of salami
these,
stuck
these
to
these so-called
the pews.
Retards and imbeciles probably have a better mentality and caring heart than you will ever know in your lifetime. And I don't want to judge you, but I would not want to stand in front of God on my last day and before judgment and tell God why you feel so horribly about a child or an adult that has such an affliction.
So
if this were your mother, if this were your mother or father, how would you feel?
You've got a God complex judging me. I'm simply
no, you're judging poor, innocent people that can't help themselves.
I'm not saying anything other than they should be quieted
during the
Mass.
They should never be gagged. You should be gagged, Father.
How can you hear the homily that I've worked my ass off?
That's all we've heard all evening on the radio is about how hard you work. Well, apparently, you're not getting the right words from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ would not do such a homily as to say that a poor,
no,
innocent child or an adult needs gagged.
Well, hold on for a minute. Now, Father, she said something. Thelma said something very clear. God, as the other lady said, suffer the little children.
God never said anything
exactly
about suffering the little children to the point that when I'm raising the body and blood of Christ before the congregation during the consecration of the host, I look down and I see one of those mentally, you know, deficient.
You called them imbeciles.
Well, all right. So
you haven't lived your life,
Father. He's wearing something that looks like a satellite dish around his neck.
You have not lived your life yet. You could be in an accident. You could have a stroke. Anything could happen to you.
Can I ask you a question?
Let me tell you, God could put on you what you are downcasting these poor adults for. I feel so ashamed to admit that you are even involved with a Catholic faith.
I studied in a seminary.
I feel bad that the seminary allowed you to become a priest.
May I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead. But you have to acknowledge the outrage of many people.
And I do acknowledge it. But I want to say, when you see one of these poor unfortunates wearing what looks like a satellite dish around his neck so he won't chew on his own shoulder...
Yeah.
I go up and hug them.
Can I
don't call them insults.
Right. And what do you do, Thelma, when you go up to receive communion and you slip on the drool and break your elbow?
I've never done that, Father. Apparently it's only done in your church. And
yes,
yet,
it is, because we don't
children
have the money.
In wheelchairs. We have children that have this affliction, and not one person in our parish ever would feel the way you feel.
You didn't answer my question.
Your attitude.
You didn't answer my question. Have they ever slipped on drool? Yes or no?
No, I have never seen that happen.
Well, the lady's telling you the truth.
They've got one of those glassed-in areas where you put the droolers and the babies, and I don't mean to say drooler. I mean the mentally broken, you know, the deficient.
And what do you do, Father, whenever you have a child in a wheelchair that wants to go up and does this sound, but is mental enough to know that they want to go up and receive the body and blood of Christ?
We very gently and lovingly gag them with some kind of a rag or tape.
I think you are terrible,
man.
Father.
Father,
I think you're inhuman.
Well,
I think you are inhuman.
It's inhuman
I feel sorry for you.
Body and blood of Christ in the
Don't
hands
talk
that are
about the body and blood of Christ with me. My body and blood of Christ that I know would never agree with you.
Father, obviously this is not sounding very Christian of you, and especially when you say you're putting the body and blood of Christ into hands soaked with drool. You know, it's the fact is, like so many people said, Jesus healed the lepers, he healed the blind.
Oh, here you go. See, people like you always do that. You always bring that one out.
That's the Bible.
Well, he hid the bear, you know.
That's the Bible,
you should,
Father.
Have you ever been to a leper colony, Thelma? I have. I've ministered to lepers. See, you haven't.
Well,
you'd
what
run screaming.
Your mind and your heart?
You'd run screaming.
I didn't hear him say slabber. How come you cut it off before slabber? You bastard. I'm calling him up, bud.
Who?
Father McQuarters. Who do you think I'm talking about? I want to hear him say slabber.
What is that?
Just don't ask me. Call him up. Do what I tell you to do. Don't sit there staring at me and, you know, analyzing the question. All right, I'm going to go right into this one. This is from Frank. He says, hey, Phil, if time permits, please rerun the Vernon Dozier open house piece. It's the one where he threw people out of the open house because he didn't think they were serious about buying the house. I wish you the very best, and I'll subscribe to your new website, Frank. Here it is, Frank, Vernon, and the open house.
Mr. Dozier,
yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
If you went into a house to buy it and were treated the way that you're treating people, what would you do?
I would shake the man's hand and thank him for dealing with me straightforward.
Well, I've got to tell you this.
What kind of a question was that? How did you think I was going to answer that question?
Well, I just wondered where you were coming from. Well, I would like to tell you this. My husband and I have bought 15 homes. We had a great number of rentals that we bought and sold. And if I ever had a real estate
agent... So you're not happy with the homes you live in?
Pardon?
You were not happy with the home you were living in?
We build homes, and after we build them, in 5 years we sell them, and we build another home, and we sell it, and
why
we build another home.
So you're not happy with the homes?
I didn't say I wasn't happy with the homes.
Why are you selling them?
We like building homes and selling them. It's the way we create a pretty good estate for ourselves. And what I wanted to say to you is...
Oh, so then you know what I'm talking about. Somebody walks in and says, hey, Carolina, is that toilet, does that flush?
Well,
you want to kick that guy around the street.
Mr. Dozier,
yes, ma'am.
I've gone to a number of different open houses. I go sometimes just to see what kind of a person the realtor is showing the house, so when I go to list the house, I know who I want to list with.
Well, there you go. See, now you're the kind of person that would make me angry, because you're not...
Sure, I would.
You're not coming in to sell. You're not coming in to buy. You're just going to...
No, but do you hear what she's saying? She wants to see how the realtor is treating the people.
Well, you would enjoy my method.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
You should see me in action.
No, I don't need to see you in action. And, in fact, if you were in my home If you were in my home, you'd be kicked out faster than you're kicking the people out of the homes that you're showing.
Phil, can I ask you and Caroline Solis, I just want to say goodbye to this one lady here.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you don't need to say goodbye to me. You're
no,
just
no, no,
afraid
she's
to
not,
talk
she's
with
not
me.
Saying goodbye to you, Caroline. He's talking to a customer who's got at the open house. Let me ask you, Caroline, you're in the real estate business?
I took real estate courses,
yeah.
And when I retired after working at the University of California.
You and your wife get out.
Are you telling somebody to get out?
I sure did. Get out. I don't want your business in here, piece of crap. Some scumbag.
I cannot
believe
this.
Can you believe this guy?
I can't believe this.
I don't understand. I do. I'm very firm in my business, Caroline, and I know that women love a firm hand. I think you would enjoy what I can do for you as a real estate agent.
I wouldn't have you for a real estate salesperson. If you were the last person on earth, I'd put out a sign on my own.
Do you know what I do? I save you the time of having to deal with a lot of lightweights, people that aren't serious.
No.
I get the serious people.
Caroline, I wanted to ask you, this is Phil Hendry. It's interesting, you're building and selling homes. That's a terrific way of
we have created a very nice estate.
Crown molding, huh? You know how many times people ask me that?
Can you hear this guy? Because I can hear him in the background.
Crown molding? All right, you and whatever that is you're with. Is that your wife? Get out.
Can you believe he's talking to people like this?
Is he for real?
Sir?
Is Caroline there?
Yes,
I'm here.
Can I get your business card? Because I'd really love to sit down and talk. I got some ideas.
I'll tell you, I said I took real estate courses, but I never sold real estate because
yes,
I found out it was more profitable for me to do what we were doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think what you're doing is great, but I would love to be able to agent for you and to... Hey.
No.
Get your hands off the counter. I would be love to agent for you and whatever I can do.
Listen, you would never be an agent for me because I would never have a person like you even show my home.
Caroline, this is Phil Hendry again.
Yes.
I'm interested in the idea of building and then selling. Do you bring in an architect?
We sketch a plan.
And I'll tell you something, I'll smack that out of your hand.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Mr. Dozier?
Yes.
Who are you yelling at?
What business is it of yours? I'm trying to do it.
I'm listening to you yelling that you're going to smack somebody.
Some kid's flushing the toilet over here. I got a business to run. What's the matter with you?
Anyway, Caroline, tell me a little bit about... you bring in an architect, and then you plan and set...
We usually sketch out a plan, pretty much what we think is... We've
flushed
had enough
the toilet
homes.
Again, didn't you? I told you not to flush the toilet again.
That's my kind of real estate agent. Sure, the guy's showing an open house. And unless you're serious, I wrote that bit one day after I'd gone house, you know, just driving around with Maria looking at houses. And she loves to go in open houses, right? Every woman does. Oh, let's go in here. Let's go, God. So I just imagined a guy sitting there going, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, crown molding. Hey, by the way, are you serious about buying? Is this just a nice Sunday outing? Well, I'm just driving around. Well, then get out. All right, we got another flashback, another request, more gold, baby, more gems, more jewels, more of the hard stuff. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now look, you old catcher's mitt.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Another flashback by request. Tonight, as we continue our flashback night, we'll be back to our normal show tomorrow. And our last broadcast ever of The Phil Hendry Show will be on Friday night. The show has been this kind of a show for 16 years. People ask me, how come you started doing a show like this, Phil, where you play the part of the guests as well as the... the host, and then the people who call in, they don't get it. See, I said, well, because I wanted to befuddle all the already very small brains that ran the radio business, and I've succeeded. All right. I wanted to show them to be the metal midgets that they are. You know, there was an attitude when I started doing this kind of show back in 1990. There was an attitude. There were cats out there that were signing people like, I'll never forget when ABC signed Deborah Norville. Now they're not doing that anymore. They're signing Whoopi Goldberg. I'm kidding around. Don't get so freaking sensitive.
Is she saying something about Whoopi?
It's time now for another flashback. It says, Dear Phil, I'd love to hear the flashback of Pastor William Renick when he collected donations for the miners who were first reported to be alive, but upon hearing of their deaths, was saying Jesus told him to buy a 7-jet spa for his back injury that he suffered years ago. So Father, so Pastor Rennick collected this money, and it never did go for the miners because he found out they were dead. He bought a spa. Signed, Ian. Here it is.
I don't totally disagree. I don't see how he can lead anybody.
I can't hear the lady.
You lead them to God if you deceive them.
I can't hear you, ma'am.
You tell them one thing and you do another. How can you lead them to God?
How am I telling them? What am I doing that's wrong? Are you kidding me?
You're lying.
What?
You're lying.
Ma'am, I can't understand. Are you talking? It sounds like the lady talking on a tin can.
I can. Christine, there's a little bit of a problem with your phone. You're much better now. What happened?
Okay. I switched my microphone.
Okay.
He lied.
Sounded like you're talking on a tin can and a Dixie cup. What'd the lady say?
Repeat what you said, Christine.
How can you lead people if you deceive them?
No, ma'am, I didn't deceive them. The money was raised so that the men would have medical expenses. Now, once we find out Wednesday morning that they all, you know, they ain't going to need no medical expenses.
You lied.
No, I didn't lie. I didn't know the men were going to die. Wait a minute. How could I lie if I didn't know the men were going to die? I didn't know the men were going to die.
He didn't all die. One's still alive. He needs medical expenses.
Well, he don't need all $40,000, does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, you do? In other words, you got his medical bills in front of you? Well, you're a better person than me.
Well, you better call the hospital because I bet you it's $40,000 right now.
Now you're betting me. A minute ago, you were certain. See, Christine, in life, we all want to believe something. I got a bad back. I fell off of a dance platform.
My mom has a bad back.
I understand
that. She fell and broke her vertebrae, and she still goes on without no $40,000 spa.
Well, God told me, because I lead a congregation of 1,000 people. I'm on a dance show. You're a very young lady.
You deceived. I'm not very young. I'm an old lady.
Well, I see you sound like a young lady. I'm paying you a compliment. And years and years, and if you were an old lady, you remember a show called Soul Train?
Yes, I remember Soul Train.
I was dancing on that show. I fell off a dance mat.
There's a lot of people that could have sued a lot of people for a lot of things, and they didn't.
I didn't sue.
I could have sued, and I didn't.
Soul Train?
No. I could have sued a hospital for the death of my daughter, and I didn't.
Well, how do you know they was responsible for it?
How do you know it was their fault that you fell off that stage?
Are you kidding? The man said to me, "What, you get up there and dance?" Now I'm what are you talking about? I'm dancing for the good of their show, so they can have people buying Jerry Curl or whatever that mess was they were selling. And the next thing you know, I fell on my ass.
It happened.
And Don Cornelius, the host of that show, looked at me like he was.
Just because you didn't sue them doesn't mean you can take their $40,000.
What did you slip on, Pastor?
I slipped on sweat. I mean, that's full of sweat.
That's your sweat. You slipped on your sweat.
Oh, that's bull crap. What I did was.
Let me ask you something. As a pastor, are you allowed to say words like that?
Like what?
Like C-A-R-P?
Oh, come on, Phil. Phil, I'm in the business of trying to draw people to the Lord, to the Savior, the blood of the Lamb.
I think you're doing it the wrong way.
Who am I talking with?
This is the lady.
Oh, yeah. What were you?
We're talking about the one miner who's still alive.
The one miner who's still alive?
The guy that's alive.
Oh, the miner.
Yes!
Yeah, you forgot about him. You're too busy thinking about your spa.
No, I didn't. You had me. I was thinking about Don Cornelius and how much I hate him.
I think you need to think about that one miner laying in the hospital and how much he needs help.
Ma'am, he has his community around him. He's got his family around him. He's got the whole country around him. And when I prayed to God, I prayed to Jesus, and he told me, you build a spa. And he was specific. He said a seven-jet spa. Now, the number 7 in the Bible, you know, I don't have to spell it out for you. 2 and 2 don't make 4. It makes 7.
Well, I don't believe what you did is right.
Can you hold on another Miller Lite?
One of the things that I'm particularly upset with is that one of the congregation members, this Richard Duncan, called my show directly, and you can only say that the man... is gay.
Another Miller Lite.
That the man has had laying down with other men, Pastor Rennick?
Yes, sir.
Why would you indict a man's sexual orientation like that?
And you talk about who?
Richard Duncan.
But Richard Duncan is a sodomite. You know what I mean by that?
And you're a liar.
He's laying with men. I'm a liar. You can't. I am not a liar. I didn't know those men was going to die. How can you call me? You know what? You must think I'm God. If you think I'm
going
to... I think I'll raise $40,000 for the men, because I know they're going to die in 3 days.
There's one man still
your life.
There's only one God I know, and I serve that God.
Pastor William Renick, that character's based on a guy named Hosea Williams, who I used to listen to in Atlanta. He had a radio show, and he used to scream and yell, and he was beautiful. He got in a car accident once. They found he had a whole bunch of toilet paper in the back of his car. I don't know. It was pretty weird. In any event, that's Pastor William Renick, and he's put in a spa. I like that whole thing about Richard Duncan is a sodomite. All right, more flashbacks ahead on our flashback night. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Don't be bleaching out on me now, sister.
The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to your show, Miss Goldberg. Congratulations.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, let me get... What are you looking at, bud?
You're going to get in trouble.
Oh, why don't you grow up? Get in trouble? What, are we on the playground now? Isn't there free speech? Isn't this America? Last I checked, isn't this the United States of America?
No.
All right. Then maybe I'm in the wrong country. Now, let me get Father James McQuarters here. Father, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm doing fine. I heard from the young man who works for you, who's not a fit mind, that you wanted to talk with me.
Yes. I remember when you were on our show and you were talking about many of the unfortunates in the congregation when you're giving your sermon, they blurt things out, they're autistic.
Oh, yes, the ones that when they come to communion, sometimes they slatter.
That's all I wanted to hear.
What's that?
I just wanted to hear you say that word.
What word? Communion?
No, the other one.
Slatter?
Yes.
Well, why do you want me to say slatter?
It's just, I don't know. It's,
Oh, I see. You think it's funny the way I say it. Is that it?
No.
You know, Phil, someday God's going to judge you. Of all of the fun you're having now, God will judge you. And God's going to stand there, and he's going to look at you, Phil. And
Father, look at I didn't mean anything by it.
Now, listen to me. God is going to stand there, and he's going to say to you, did you have your fun down there on earth, Phil? Did you have your fun down there, Phil?
Father, don't give me a sermon. I just thought it was funny.
I want to finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
He's going to say, did you have your fun down there, Phil? You'll say, oh, yes. Yes, God, I had a great time, Lord. And he say, yes, I remember when you had Father McQuarters on, and you were making fun of the poor retards, having him say the way it's slatter, over and over again. Did you have fun listening to Father McQuarters say slatter? Did you, Phil?
Am I supposed to answer?
Yes, answer.
Yes, I thought it was amusing, God.
Well, I hope you had your fun, because the fun's over. The show's over. You know what I'm saying to you, Phil? The show's over, and where you're going, you're not going to need that sweater. Phil, I've got to go.
Why?
I've got to go clean some slabber up.
Okay. What a jackball, Catholic priest. All right, it's time now for another flashback by request, and this one is from Sean in Portland, Oregon. And Sean writes, yo, Phil, I'd love to hear a bit from a couple of months ago. I think it was Lloyd Bonafide who was talking about being teabagged by his neighbor's cat. His neighbor's cat. Something about Lloyd and cats, man. He does not get along with them. It made me laugh so frickin' hard. I was with a coworker, and when the bit was over, he asked me what teabagging was, which made me laugh even more. Good luck on the retirement, Sean Portland. Here it is, Sean. Lloyd and the neighbor's cat. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Hendry, I was responding to your comments about cats, and I want to tell you that you are dead wrong.
How did I know that? I mean, dog lovers are going to say that.
If you just let me finish, and I'll ask my grandson, turn that down, sir. First of all, I have a pit bull.
A pit bull?
Yes, and it's a very loving and wonderful animal, and it would never, ever harm anyone unless that individual was trying to harm my family. The animal is completely trained.
Male or female?
It is a female, and the dog's name is Cynthia, and we love this animal very much. Now, I want to mention something. Next door, Grandpa wants you to turn that down.
The American dream.
Turn it down. Are you there?
Yeah, let's... I'm sorry, sir. I need to move along.
All right. Well, let me just tell you. My next-door neighbor is a gentleman, a veteran that I know from American Legion named Dick Steelworth. And he has a cat that is some kind of a black-and-white cat that it's been seen in the neighborhood. Now, I said to him that I'd like his cat to stay out of my yard because the animal will get hurt by my pit bull.
What is your pit bull trained to attack cats?
No, sir, but the pit bull is on a leash during the day in a run that we have constructed, and if this cat comes over the fence, because cats go from yard to yard, the pit bull will go after it like white on rice. And I told him, now, and I've got a call in to City Commissioner Bud Frankel, the cat yesterday, and I've got the time, it was at 2:20 yesterday afternoon, the animal, you were talking about cats wrapping themselves around someone's leg, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, that was what they were saying, that the one...
Well, this cat came off the fence, and I was in the backyard, and I was doing some work on some screens that we were having cleaned. The cat came off the fence and attached itself to my face, to my head, and the animal was spread across my face. I thought for sure I was going to have my eyes clawed out, and then I realized what was happening. I was being teabagged by a cat in front of my door.
What do you mean you were teabagged by...
I'm telling you, the cat had its legs right across the nasal area, and I was getting a full teabag from a neighborhood alley cat, and I have never been more humiliated. And I told Steelworth, I said, you know what, that's dirty pool. Because if I'd let Cynthia go, I could have turned your cat into a snack for my dog. And I find it humiliating.
And sir, wait a minute. Are you telling me your neighbor trained this cat to spread it across your face like that?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all, Mr. Hendry. I'm saying that the cat sat up on the fence, thought to himself, today's a pretty nice day. Why did I teabag the old man today? Of course I'm saying that the animal was trained.
Oh, come on. First of all, this cat grabbed you?
The cat grabbed my facial, yes, into the facial, yes.
Cats, look at if it's a
Mr. Hendry, I give it to understand I'm calling a talk show. I'm not calling one of those programs where you've got some bloid signing. Hello.
Yeah, I hear you. What am I listening there?
My grandson's watching some programming. I love
you. Number one. If that animal scratched you or bit you, you have a right to go to animal control.
Yes, sir, I do. But I also called Bill Barklin over at the city commissioner's office. And I told him in no uncertain terms that Mr. Steelworth, and I understand Dick Steelworth's a WW2 boy. You know, these WW2 boys, they think they got it all over the Korea boys because they, you know, on account of the D-Day boys, you know. But I said to Barklin, I said, this guy Steelworth has got a cat, and the animal... is challenging me to kill it with my dog because it teabagged me on Tuesday, teabagged me again on Wednesday.
Wait a minute, man.
What are you laughing at, sir?
How many times did this cat leap off of the fence and grip your face?
The animal gripped me 2 days in a row, and I got teabagged, and it was not that day.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was hot that day.
Oh.
You know, sir, I find it very wrong.
If you got bit by this cat or scratched with it, you have to, number one, get to your doctor. Are you current on your tetanus shot?
Yes, sir, of course we are. My wife and I have full physicals, and we're inoculated regularly.
Well, then you're fine there.
But I'm not inoculated for rabies, am I? What, am I going to go in and get a rabies shot? Or are you, Steelworth can't wait for me to start foaming at the mouth and barking at the moon. He'd love to put one in my head. Because he's one of these WW2 boys, and he's got a Japanese carbine rifle that he took off a dead Jap, and he'd love to plug me right between the eyes. Well, guess what? His cat already did it. Oh, why did the two of you go to hell? You know what? Why don't you go ahead, sit in your car, program in hell, hit set as destination, wait for the girl to go forward 3 miles, and turn... straight down.
Oh, here we go. I can't hang up.
I can hang up fine.
Then hang it up, will you? I got to get going.
Oh, yeah. You ready? You got to get going.
Get out of here. Oh, there's Lloyd. Lloyd and the day the cat, he's pretty sure Dick Steelworth trained his cat to teabag him. All right, that's a Lloyd request, of which, God, I can't get enough of that guy. I got one coming up here for Brett. Brett's in Portland, Oregon. He wants to hear a Steve Bozell clip. And this is a Steve Bozell bit that was inspired by an actual event in the lives of the Phil Hendry Show staff. In fact, our producer, Mark Newman, this actually happened. It didn't happen to him the way Bozell said it, but it inspired the forthcoming bit. Steve Bozell visits a bank with his son. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show Flashback Night. Don't forget our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Send us your email information so we can stay in touch during the summer.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, sweet God, do I gotta rock.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a request from Brett. It's a flashback night. Brett writes, "Hey, Phil, before your last show, I'd like to hear the clip about Steve Bozell complaining that his baby, quote, sailed one into his shorts and missiled one into his diapers. That clip is hilarious. My daughter and I refer to all my baby son's BMs this way when he needs to be changed. Thanks, all in a heap in Portland, Brett." Here it is, inspired by our producer Mark Newman and his son in the bank one day. It's Steve and his kid.
Well, I'm certain that he is trying to be a good father.
Thank you very much.
The fact remains that anybody who is truly, truly, I'm so mad right now, I can't even breathe. Anybody who is a very good parent would never make the comment that he would have to, he may have to stick a wine cork up his child's butt to keep him from going.
Ma'am, what am I supposed to do?
No, you're talking about your wife being this bad person that ate Mexican food.
Yes, ma'am.
And made this child go in his diaper.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all the women that have called in have made every single point that I have sat here and laughed and almost cried because I'm so mad at you for saying these things, because you can't control what a baby is going to do. Number one, okay? You just said your child just went, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
You were in that bank for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You can't tell me that your wife could time you being in that bank for 30 minutes, a half hour. That child could go
all right, straight. Then why did she say to me when I got back and I said, okay, you did it, he messed in his diaper and it made me look like a fool.
You know what?
And she wagged her finger and she said, I told you.
No,
now, ma'am,
no.
It was a small wine cork that I got from Trader Joe's Charles Schwab wine.
Listen to me. And because everyone out there right now that is an advocate for children, they need to find out who you are. Because
you I put a wine cork up my son's butt?
You are a sick individual.
How am I sick?
For saying that you would stick a wine cork up your child's butt. That's called child abuse.
Oh, my God. How dare you? How dare you? I'm trying to keep him from firing another one into his diaper while I'm in there doing business.
My son,
he missiled one into his shorts while I'm standing there trying to get my whole life together with payrolls and everything. So,
you know what? Yada, yada, yada.
God's going to strike
you
blind. God's going to strike you blind. God's going
to
give you leukemia for
doing that. You know what you are? You are an adult. Think about it.
Thank you, yes.
You are an adult.
Why don't you treat me like one?
No, because you're not acting like one.
Well, why don't you treat me like one? Everybody's calling me up and yelling at me.
Because you're acting like an infant.
Listen to you, dude. Don't you hear yourself?
You're acting like an infant because I am so mad. I can't even breathe right now because you said
I
have to stick a cork up my child's butt.
I'll tell you right now that my wife can time it out. Now, she just breastfed him 15 minutes ago, and I'm holding him right now, and I guarantee within 30 seconds he'll missile one into his shorts.
You know what?
One,
I breastfed two children.
Four,
and my husband was always...
There it is.
No. My husband
was
man enough to change their diapers. And he was a plant manager.
I don't mind changing my son's diaper, but I will not change my son's diaper in the middle of Bank of America. Thank you.
And he took my babies and his babies into the bathroom, and he changed their diaper, and we would laugh about it. And that's what most people do.
Did you ever pat him down for a wine cork?
Steve Bozell, what a sick bastard. Kid's shooting a log out, man. So what does he do? Gets a wine cork from Trader Joe's while he's in the middle of the bank there trying to get some business done. There's a flashback by request. We got another one coming up. It's from Andrea, and it's a Vernon Dozier bit where he blames Bush for the tsunamis. Well, wow, that's unusual. They ain't blaming Bush for much these days. All right, that is our flashback that we have coming up, and we are plumb out of flashback nights. This is our last one. We'll be playing flashbacks, individual ones, tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday night. But this is the last show where we are going to play nothing but flashbacks. Our last broadcast ever is on Friday night. Join us on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. The website lives. The website continues. The material lives on our website, and we'll tell you more.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Crap is not really the word for it. Crap is solid.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got a flashback coming up next hour for you, leading off the hour and throughout the hour. But leading off the hour, next hour, we've got a request from a listener who wants to hear another Vernon Dozier bit, and that's blaming Bush for the tsunamis. I wanted to just give you a little bit of history on Steve Bozell, the character we just heard, because I actually forgot where that character came from. He actually came from the very first time I ever heard Dick Vermeil cry. I mean, I heard Dick Vermeil was then the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles some 26 years ago when he retired from the Eagles. I'll never forget the line. The line was,
"And my players know where I'm coming from." And that voice right there, that's Dick Vermeil crying.
And if you've seen Dick Vermeil in the years since as a head coach, well, actually, he just started coaching again because he was a broadcaster for a lot of years. But he went to the St. Louis Rams, then he went to the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he still coaching the Chiefs? I don't even know what the hell he's doing. But in any event,
he always kind of sounds like that.
You know, and so that Steve Bozell, literally, the whole character of Steve Bozell grew out of Dick Vermeil crying at a press conference. And the whole life of that guy just sort of got invented along the way. All right, we got Vernon Dozier coming back. And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Send us your email stuff, man, so we know how to, you know, keep track of you so we can, like, I don't know, sneak into your house and stuff when you're not home. No, tell us when you're home. Tell us when you're not home. We want to break in and steal stuff. All right? We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.